Sports Weekend, all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Prince Nesta joins us once again with a big package of African and international football news. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with the draw for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. The Confederation of African Football indefinitely postponed the draw for the African Cup of Nations due to quote-unquote logistical reasons related to the COVID-19 pandemic, end of quote. The draw was initially scheduled for June 25th, but according to the statement released on Sunday, a new date will be announced in due course. A total of 31 teams have so far qualified for the AFCON tournament scheduled to be held next year in Cameroon. The remaining slots will be decided when the Lion Stars of Sierra Leone take on the Squirrels of Benin in a rescheduled match set for this month after it was abandoned in March following a COVID-19 dispute. The Squirrels are only in need of a point to qualify for the AFCON tournament, while Sierra Leone need a convincing win in the fixture. A goal from Manchester City's playmaker Riyad Mahrez was enough to earn Algeria a hard-fought 1-0 friendly victory over Mali. The 30-year-old winger lashed onto Youssef Belaili's ball just before the hour to extend the Desert Foxes' unbeaten run to 26 matches. The win is a major confidence boost for the Algerian side, scheduled to play on June 11th against the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, who registered a 1-0 victory over the Leopards of DR Congo to extend their unbeaten run to 12 matches in all competitions. Naim Sliti's effort on the stroke of halftime ensured victory for the Tunisian side in an international friendly match, which also saw Manchester United's 18-year-old wonderkid Hannibal Mejbri make his much-awaited Tunisian debut, despite playing for the French national team at under-16 and under-17 level. Senegal's Lions of Teranga cruised to a 3-1 win against the Chipolopolo of Zambia, thanks to first-half goals from Liverpool's speedster Sadio Mane, Crispin Diatta and Watford winger Ismaila Sarr. Dominic Chanda scored Zambia's consolation goal. Senegal faces the Blue Sharks of Cape Verde in another friendly fixture scheduled for Tuesday. The Lions of Teranga stand favourites to win the match after having won 13 of their past 17 games against the West Coast of Africa team, who've only won twice against them. Kojo Fodolaba scored a brace to ensure the Hawks of Togo return to winning ways after cruising to a 2-0 win against Guinea in a match that was played in Antalya, Turkey. Manchester United winger Amad Diallo also scored a stunning free kick while topping it off with an impressive display for the Elephants of Ivory Coast, who secured a 2-1 victory against the Stallions of Burkina Faso. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And in other fixtures, Abdul Rwatubyaye and skipper Jacques Tuyisenge both recorded their names on the score sheet as the Wasps of Rwanda beat the Wallabies of Central African Republic 2-0 in an international friendly match played at the Amahoro Stadium in Kigali. Both teams play again on Monday in the two sides' second warm-up match ahead of the 2022 Qatar World Cup qualifiers, scheduled to resume in September. The Wasps are placed in Group E in the second round of next year's World Cup qualifiers, alongside their neighbors Uganda, Kenya and Mali. The Indomitable Lions of Cameroon and the Super Eagles of Nigeria set to square it off in an international friendly fixture scheduled to be held in Austin on Tuesday. Both teams traded tackles last Friday, with Fulham midfielder Zambo Anguissa scoring their sole goal to secure a win for the Indomitable Lions in the 37th minute. The two African giants have played on 24 occasions in the past, with the Super Eagles winning 12 times, while the Central African rivals have been victorious on 5 occasions, while sharing the spoil 7 times in their matchup. Togo takes on the Scorpions of Gambia in another mouth-watering clash slated for Tuesday, while the Atlas Lions of Morocco will welcome the Black Stars of Ghana to the Prince Moulay Abdellah Stadium. Both sides are also set to face each other twice during the international friendly fixture window before resuming their FIFA World Cup qualifiers in September. Meanwhile, Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku secured his 60th Belgium goal to earn the Red Devils a 1-0 win over Croatia in their Euro 2020 warm-up game played at the King Baudouin Stadium. Dutch footballer of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay also scored a goal and created another to help the Netherlands cruise to a 3-0 victory against Georgia on Sunday ahead of Euro 2020. English footballer of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka also opened his international account, scoring the sole goal for the Three Lions to register victory against Austria. The 19-year-old's momentum was, however, halted by a hip injury, which caused him to miss Sunday night's 1-0 victory against Romania in the final Euro 2020 warm-up match played at the Riverside Stadium. Moving on to Major League Soccer, veteran Leicester City defender Christian Fuchs has signed a 1-year contract for Major League Soccer expansion team Charlotte FC. The 35-year-old played an integral part in the Leicester City side, which won the Premier League title during the 2015-2016 season. The former Austrian national team captain spent 6 years at Leicester City and made 152 appearances for the English side. According to the Charlotte Observer, Fuchs is the 5th player to join the MLS club, and he joined Spanish midfielder Sergio Ruiz, Australian attacking midfielder Riley McGree, Polish defender Jan Sobozinski, and midfielder Brand Bonico, who joined Charlotte through a trade deal with Chicago Fire FC in MLS. Prince Nestor on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Now let's go to Ghana, where Yawafusu Larbi caught up with the now-retired footballer Baba Sule, who was a member of the country's 1995 FIFA Under-17 World Cup champion team. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Baba Sule's goal in the final of the 1995 Under-17 World Cup meant he was on his way to good things in his football career. He wheeled away with Emmanuel Bento after latching onto a loose ball that goalkeeper Julio Cesar had fumbled. It was Ghana's opener, and he rolled the carpet in the Black Starlet's way. That year was massive for youth football in Ghana.
That year was a memorable year for me and all the team who went to that World Cup. Anytime we talk about 1995, it brings a lot of memories.
The good year will be capped with an opportunity to travel to Europe for the midfielder, but it also started a series of unfortunate events for the man. In a quest to land a club abroad, Mallorca came calling. He answered, but it wasn't long before he was diagnosed with hepatitis.
Illness, I had hepatitis B. It even nearly cost my contract with Mallorca. I had a conversation with them, and then they allowed me to come to Ghana to cure. You know, Ghana, that hepatitis B is like jaundice. So I came back and then had treatment. And after the treatment, I returned to Mallorca. They did the test and I passed through.
The traumatic incident that nearly blighted his fledgling career was curtailed, but a bigger part of the misfortune was coming. Baba moved to Orense from Mallorca, had a fantastic season with them, until he broke his leg and it took him back again. He He returned to Ghana soon after treatment and scored 2 goals as the Black Satellites finished 4th at the World Youth Championship. In 1999, he signed for Real Madrid's B team and had a chance to join the seniors if he had excelled on loan at Leganés. Baba got injured in his final game where Madrid sporting director then, Vicente del Bosque, had come to watch.
It was that very match I had my injury. I mean, that injury, I was alone, controlling a ball, and when I was trying to turn, then I fall down. And even when I fall down, I thought it was not all that serious, but when I woke up and tried to move, I realized that it was a very serious injury.
Now retired, Baba is a kit man at Fuenlabrada, a French club in Madrid suburbs. His daily routine includes sorting out jerseys and picking balls at training. But Baba admits there's pure satisfaction in that.
You receive him as part of the team, I mean, part of the family, as part of them. And I'm really doing very good there, even though I'm working as a material responsible this thing of the club, but they still respect me as professional player who I used to be. They don't treat me as such, like this thing. And I had a lot of responsibility in this club.
Baba's career may not have followed the archetypal brilliant youth player, but he says he is grateful for football's gift to him. It is a career that has taken him from Kumasi Cornerstones to Mallorca to Leganés via Madrid and then to Rayo Majadahonda in Spain's 6th tier league. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusulabi in Accra.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Rain on me. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Voice of America!
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water, or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Douglas Mpuga joins us now with more African football news.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has banned Tunisia international Taha Yassin Kenissi for 1 year for a doping violation. CAF's disciplinary committee also ruled on incidents involving Senegalese club Jaraf and Algeria's Mamelodi Alga. Esperance's Kemisi tested positive for a prohibited substance after an African Champions League game against Alga on May 10th. The 29-year-old's ban began on May 19th, and that means he's ineligible to play for Tunisia at January's Africa Cup of Nations finals in Cameroon. There were also 12-month bans for 2 Mamelodi Alga's players for assaulting the referee during a Champions League fixture against Morocco's Wydad Casablanca. Alga have also been fined $25,000. And 2 Jaraf players and a club official were sanctioned for assaulting match officials during their Confederation Cup quarterfinal against Cameroon's Cotton Sport on May 23rd. Jaraf official Yosa Dial has been suspended for 2 years from all football activities, while Albert Diani and Mamadou Sylo have been banned for 6 matches. Jaraf will also have to pay $50,000 for the aggressive behavior and improper conduct of their officials and players. Finally, Rwanda has accepted the request from the International Olympic Committee to be a hub offering vaccination services for those traveling to the Tokyo Games. The other center for those needing to be vaccinated ahead of the Olympics will be in Qatar. Rwanda's head of the National Olympic Committee, Uwayo Thiogene, told the media that Rwanda had confirmed to the International Olympic Committee that the East African nation was interested in providing the service for those national federations who might not have the facilities that Rwanda has. Thiogene described the gesture as Rwanda playing her modest role in the successful implementation of the Olympics. He also clarified that the International Olympic Committee will be coordinating the project rather than his National Olympic Committee, and added that Rwanda's plans for the Olympics are going ahead as planned.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Sempuga. Rwanda also hosted the recent Basketball Africa League tournament at the Kigali Arena.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is a proud radio partner of the Basketball Africa League, and the Egyptian club Zamalek lifted the first BAL trophy. Now, the Kigali Arena will also be the venue for the AfroBasket Men's Championship Tournament, which tips off on August 24th. In National Basketball Association playoff action Sunday, the Atlanta Hawks and the Los Angeles Clippers both posted victories. The Hawks scored a 128-124 road victory against the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 1 of their second-round series, and the Clippers beat the Dallas Mavericks 126-111 in the decisive Game 7 of their first-round series. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more about the victories by the Hawks and the Clippers.
The Clippers have advanced to the Western Conference semifinals with a 126-115 win over the Mavericks in Game 7. It was the first series in NBA history in which the road team won the first six games. Kawhi Leonard scored 28 points.
I'm glad that we showed character, we showed poise when we went down 2-0 going on the road in that Game 3. That meant a lot to me this season. Obviously, it got us to this next round.
Paul George added 22 points, 10 assists, and 6 rebounds for the Clippers, whose backups outscored the Dallas reserves 27-6. Luka Doncic had 46 points, 14 assists, and 7 rebounds to lead the 5th-seeded Mavs, who have yet to win a playoff series since capturing the NBA championship in 2011.
I think we played great. We gave everything. I'm really proud of this team. Obviously, I hate losing. We hate losing, but I'm proud of my team.
Trae Young scored 25 of his 35 points while the Hawks dominated the first half to take Game 1 of their Eastern Conference semifinal series, 128-124 at Philadelphia.
Guys were locked in and focused from the jump, and it was good to see. And the way we started in that first half, we just got to continue that.
The Hawks made 14 of their first 18 shots from the floor and led by 20 at intermission. The 76ers pulled within 3 with 101 left, but Bogdan Bogdanovic followed with a 3-pointer to seal it.
One of the first shots as a kid you're taking is like, oh, 3-2-1, and you try to make it. And you live for these moments, and now it's reality. I'm just using every single opportunity I have.
Bogdanovic and John Collins each scored 21 points for Atlanta. Joel Embiid had 39 points for the 76ers after missing their previous playoff game with torn cartilage in his right knee.
Our focus on the basketball court wasn't the same. That hit us hard at the beginning. So now it's on us to respond.
Game 2 is Tuesday in Philadelphia. Brooklyn Nets All-Star guard James Harden will miss Game 2 of the Eastern Conference semifinals Monday night because of a right hamstring injury. Harden left Saturday's 115-107 victory over Milwaukee in Game 1 after just 43 seconds because of an injury that troubled him during the latter part of the regular season. He missed 18 straight and 20 of 21 games late in the season. Coach Steve Nash said Harden's recent troubles with the injury made his availability for later in the series hard to predict. I'm Dave Ferry.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Join us on the next Straight Talk Africa. We're going to talk about Africans working abroad. Now, as economies around the world prepare to open after multiple lockdowns, will Africans be looking for jobs overseas again? And we'll bring you the stories of young people who chase their dreams abroad and their words of caution to others. We'll also take a closer look at what international migration will look like after the pandemic. Join us right here on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Thanks, Haiti. That's Haiti Adams, the new host of our Straight Talk Africa program, which is broadcast on Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC. Now let's go to Miami, Florida, where YouTube personality Logan Paul went the full distance of 8 rounds Sunday night against unbeaten boxing champion Floyd Mayweather Jr., in an exhibition bout that did not have a winner. Reuters News says Paul produced a Rocky-style performance in not getting knocked out by Mayweather. There were no judges ringside, and the bout at Hard Rock Stadium did not count on either fighter's record. Logan Paul had this to say after the special exhibition.
You know, I knew if it went the distance, I won. Technically, but that wasn't the game plan. When you're fighting a guy like Floyd, you know, the legend, the boxer, kind of relying on him to figure out the game plan and then just playing off his. I think I got him with a good shot in that first round, which kind of threw him off a little bit. And, I mean, yeah, surviving against Floyd Mayweather, like, is great. He's my second opponent. Floyd Mayweather is my second opponent. And so... Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm happy. It's good. It was good fun.
In the middle rounds, the 44-year-old Mayweather went on the attack, but Logan Paul showed he could take the punishment. Paul outweighed Mayweather by about 35 pounds. Mayweather says Paul's frequent holding also was a factor.
Breaking him down to the body, big guy, you know, chop him down, but Logan... Hell of a grappler, hell of a holder. And like I said before, you know, when you got a guy over 200 and some pounds, I'm pretty sure he weighed 189 yesterday, came in over 200. After he got rehydrated. It was cool. Something to do. It was cool tonight.
Floyd Mayweather adds he is not planning a comeback in boxing.
And I'm not coming back to the sport of boxing. Absolutely not. I did what I had to do. I made my mark on the sport. I got all my faculties. Made a ton of money. Hey, brother, money ain't everything. Well, I know we got to eat food every day to survive so we can live longer, and that takes money. So, to me, it looks like money is everything. Y'all forget. I'm the one that put heavyweights out of business when I was fighting. I mean, it's all about the big guys, the heavyweights. I put them out of business. Then all the guys that y'all said was extraordinary, the Canelos and the Pacquiao's, I made them look ordinary. Then y'all go back and say, we want to see Floyd fight him again. Why? When you get it done right the first time, you ain't got to do it the second time.
Floyd Mayweather says he expects to make more than $50 million from this exhibition against Logan Paul, who also should get a very nice payday. Mayweather versus Paul was broadcast on Showtime pay-per-view television here in the USA, and thanks to Showtime for the Mayweather and Paul audio.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. Turning to tennis, veteran stars Roger Federer and Serena Williams both 39 years old, have made early exits from the French Open. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Roger Federer bowed out of the French Open tournament on Sunday. In a statement released by the French Tennis Federation, Federer wrote in part, "After discussions with my team, I decided that I should withdraw from the French Open today." He adds, "After two knee operations and more than a year of rehabilitation, it's important that I listen to my body and not rush back into competition." That announcement came the day after Federer defeated German Dominic Kofler in four sets. And afterwards, he told reporters he was pondering on whether or not to continue in the clay court Grand Slam.
"You know, I prefer to be in Rafa's or Novak's shoes right now, where they're like, I'm feeling good, you know. If I'm playing well, I'm winning. So I don't have that feeling right now. So for me, it's... These are all stepping stones, right, to something that is really important to me. It's the season and it's the comeback, and I need matches like these, you know. Having a match like this, knowing I could have probably played a fifth set, but not knowing how I will wake up tomorrow is interesting, to say the least. So, yeah, it's definitely a different time right now for me."
Federer has barely competed in the 17 months that followed two right knee surgeries. And at 39, he entered the French Open as the oldest player in the men's singles tournament. He plans to continue his quest for a record 21st Grand Slam and will now switch his focus to the grass court at Wimbledon later this month. Meanwhile, Italian Matteo Berrettini, who would have been Federer's fourth round opponent, walks through to the quarterfinals. Elsewhere, world number two Daniil Medvedev has booked his spot in the quarterfinals after a straight set victory over Chilean Christian Garin. Afterwards, Medvedev spoke about Federer's decision to withdraw from the tournament.
"Roger is 39. Maybe after the match, he worked with his physio and he felt the pain in his knee or something where he had the surgery. And then he knows that maybe he's going on the next match and he's going to hurt himself and not be able to play for some time. And that's what you know also with experience. That's when younger players can have can do mistakes sometimes. And so I think altogether, me, I don't see why he should be criticized. At the same time, I understand people who do it. So me, I won't criticize him."
Medvedev is set to face Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas on Tuesday. Also on the men's side, King of Clay Rafael Nadal easily advanced to the fourth round with a straight set victory over Cameron Norrie of Britain. And Novak Djokovic is also in the fourth round after dominating Ricardas Berankis of Lithuania. And another surprise exit on the women's side. On Sunday, Serena Williams' pursuit of a 24th Grand Slam title came to an abrupt end after she lost to Elena Rybakina in straight sets. After the match, the three-time French Open champion admitted her expectations going into this year's tournament had not been high.
"Yeah, I'm in a much better place than when I got here. You know, I was just literally trying to win a match because it had been really difficult season for me on the clay, and although I love the clay, I was just like, if I could just win a match. So yeah, that's kind of where I was kind of coming in."
The 39-year-old won her last major at the Australian Open in 2017 and will try for another Grand Slam at Wimbledon later this month. Meanwhile, Elena Rybakina has advanced to her first ever Grand Slam quarterfinal. Rybakina, who was born in Russia but represents Kazakhstan, will face Russian Anastasia Pavluchenkova on Tuesday. Defending champion Iga Swiatek will play her fourth round match against Ukrainian Marta Kostyuk on Monday. American Coco Gauff has already won her early fourth-round match to advance to the quarterfinals. Lots of surprises at Roland Garros. More tennis results to come. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the June 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.